my great, some great mother. Jochebed. What a great mother. What are we going to do in the world with that? She was faced with a terrible situation. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, was not happy about the great birth rate of all the Israelites. When we remove this growing threat of a slave nation becoming stronger than the Egyptians, Pharaoh ordered that all baby boys, Israelite baby boys, be thrown into the river and executed. Put them in the Nile River. And as you can imagine, this was not done quickly. It was not done freely. Just like would happen today, mothers would find ways to save their children, to work around this law that was passed. They would conspire many different ways to protect their children. The love of a mother drives them to protect their children. Perhaps you don't recognize the name Jochebed right away, but there's a good chance that I start to tell a story, you realize we're going to be talking about Moses' mom. It's hard to imagine even being in that position, having a king forcing all baby boys to be executed. Like, it's just hard for us to even wrap our minds around. What do you even do in that situation? You know, if you rebel, you're putting your own life at risk. You know, you're putting yourself in danger. Jochebed was in a position where all she could do was put her baby into God's hands and trust Him. I'll never be a great mother. I promise you that. I'll never even be a mother. I can promise you that. Mother's Day is always special, though. But it can also be difficult for many, for different life situations. And as we look at this message today, being a mother, it's anything but easy. Eh? Because we have to deal with the world. We have to deal with the sin that's in the world. And being a mother, it's filled with tough decisions. It's filled with hardships. And sometimes, as a mother, you got to just love through a broken heart. And sometimes at the decisions of your kids, and sometimes at the decisions of others, your kids have broken hearts, and you just got to love through it. During these times as a mother, Jochebed sets a great example of trusting the Lord when the circumstances are absolutely impossible. Great mothers protect, they place their children in God's hands, and they position their children for success. So let's read Exodus 2, 1 through 10. And that'll be our text today. So if you have your Bibles, you're welcome to join in reading me. Exodus 2, 1 through 10. We're going to take a break from Ezra this week to honor our mothers. And a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Traits of great mother. Great mothers protect their children. Let's give a little bit more background here as we dive into this. Don't want to assume too much. Joseph had brought his family to Egypt to save them from a 7-year famine many years prior. They lived south in the main city of where the Egyptian capital was. Which is really good because the Egyptians, the Israelites were shepherds, and the Egyptians looked very down upon shepherds. They didn't really like people like that. It was kind of a detestable job, according to the Egyptians. And so, but it turned out to be really good for Israel because when we see Israel move forward into the Promised Land, they started interacting with other people, and then they started to adopt their gods. Living in Egypt, that wasn't likely to happen because of how detestable their people were viewed in the eyes of Egypt. And so in some ways it was kind of God's protection being in that position, being shepherds in the land of Egypt. But eventually Joseph was forgotten. His descendants continued to live in Egypt. And then eventually they were forgotten that there was any connection there, and he was favored. So that's where we come down to Amram. Amram and Jochebed got married and had a baby during the time all Israelites were told to kill their baby boys. Moses wasn't the firstborn. He was the third child, at least, after Aaron and Miriam. They were born before the command to kill all the baby boys, so they were safe. Now the pressure's on. Jochebed has a baby boy. She knows the law, but as a mother, she's not going to just throw her baby into the Nile River. Most of us know that Moses is in the Hall of Fame in Hebrews, but so is his mom. Listen to Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw him as a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. No fear. I don't know about you, man, being in that position and still having no fear, that's a tough one. Moses' mother had a king that wanted her baby dead, and she did not live in fear. Moses had an incredible foundation of faith before him. Putting faith into action, it's tough. When your child's life is on the line, man, it's really tough living in faith. Yet even in the possibility of her own severe punishment, she lived fearless. She did what she believed was right and kept her baby hidden for 3 months. She wasn't foolish. She didn't pray around town and say, I got a baby boy hidden in the closet. No, she hid it. She kept it quiet. What she does have is enough faith to not fear, though. We all face adversity. We all have things in life that naturally bring about fear. But the real question is, do we trust God enough to not live in fear? Living in fear is different than having fearful moments. We all have moments we're afraid of something. But living in fear becomes crippling. I give credit to my mom for not living in fear. She grew up in a home where alcohol took over my grandfather's life, and the family pretty much lost everything because of it. Fortunately, my grandfather did eventually quit drinking. He got past that, but he continued to struggle with many other vices. But my mom spent time in foster homes, and she looked in her life like she could have just gave up and said, you know what, it doesn't matter. Rather, she found Jesus, and she chose to live in faith. She decided the sins of her father were not going to be passed on through generations, at least not through our line. And she was open with us, and she told us about the dangers of alcohol and all that it cost her as a kid growing up. So because of that, I still want nothing to do with it because of the pain that my mom shared in her experiences. But that's a blessing to have a mother that's willing to not live in fear. She was willing to change something. She's willing to do it differently. She's willing to live in faith rather than fear. Moses had a mom a lot like that. Moms, let's be honest though, moms can be biased. Baby Moses was what the Bible says is a beautiful child. Now babies are cute, but we have to be honest because we're dealing with Scripture. Some babies are cuter than others. It's real. The Gerber baby was chosen for a reason, right? You got the cute little chubby cheeks and everything. Moses was the original Gerber baby here, alright? I mean, it is noted several times in Scripture that he was a beautiful child. Something about his appearance was just special. Looking back on it, probably a gift to God, maybe even to have the daughter of Pharaoh find a little more favor in him so that she would take him in. Maybe that was part of God's plan the whole way. All that to say that moms can be pretty biased when talking about their own babies, but there are several mentions in the Bible about Moses having this a very attractive look. And if it's recorded in Scripture several times, inspired by the Holy Spirit, then we know it has to be true. Perhaps Jochebed is a little biased, but the author's note suggests it was probably true. Although we do also have to admit that Moses was the author of Exodus. So the fact that he's saying he was a beautiful child, maybe he was a little biased too. Throw that out there. But some people just naturally hold a natural beauty that's different than others. And it's kind of funny because they've actually done studies like what makes someone visually attractive to other people? And first, it can be culturally relative. Let's start with that. You know, depending on the culture, different traits are found to be attractive. But in general, the things that help make you look more beautiful is a symmetrical face, right? You got, like, things should be even. If you have one eye up here, one down, it throws things up. Symmetrical faces is one of the things they look for. Good proportions between your forehead, your eyes, your nose, your lips, and your chin. Those are favored as well. Skin clarity is a big one. The one thing you can control that helps people become more beautiful in the eyes of others is simply smile. Everybody smile. See, you just look so much more beautiful already. I love it, right? But that is one thing you can actually do to look more beautiful in the world's eyes. Then some areas of your face are different qualifiers for men and women, right? Women are favored with high cheekbones. Men with a good chiseled jawline, right? A youthful look is often favored. But don't worry. For those of you that have been married for a long time, another major factor when it comes to seeing spouse beauty is being together for a long time. And generally speaking, when someone has been married for a long time, their spouse begins to find them even more beautiful than the day that they met. Which is definitely true with us.
He had to go back.
All right. I think we're running points right now. What Moses looked like isn't all that important. In the long run, Moses' appearance isn't. Other than to say that there was something about his appearance that stood out enough that it was mentioned several times in Scripture. But if God made him extra cute, had it been recorded by the Holy Spirit, then there probably was a reason for it. And again, I think it makes sense in this situation that when Pharaoh's daughters saw him, between his cuteness, between his crying, there's just something about him that said, "Take me home, right? Take me home." So Jochebed, she goes and she hides Moses. 3 months. Can you imagine trying to hide a baby for 3 months? Man, when Kara was a little, and I was in seminary, we had to juggle her a little bit between my classes and work and Wendy's work. And Wendy worked at the Carter Glass Mansion on Liberty's campus, and he was a former Virginia senator, so a pretty prominent building. And he used to have a dairy farm there in Lynchburg, and right at the center was now Liberty University. The only problem was that employees weren't supposed to bring children along. Well, Wendy would smuggle Kara to work every now and then, and just, you know, as much. And she kind of became known as the mansion baby. And, you know, I don't get too big of a head, because that's the only time she's been known as a mansion baby. But that was fine until one of the vice presidents found out and told Wendy's superior that this needed to end immediately. Well, I just tell you, it's not easy hiding a baby. They make noise, right? Sometimes they make funny smells. And just because you tell them, shh, it doesn't always work. Some of you sitting in the sanctuary know that if you tell your kid, shh, and then they get louder, right? That's what they do. They grow, they get heavier, they cry. Sometimes babies cry a lot. Having a baby is not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to hide a baby. Not to mention that the baby bump that once was there has now disappeared. So, you know, things happen. That was fine until one of the way. Wrong section. Jochebed wasn't about to just toss baby Moses into the Nile, right? That she's like, that's not an option in her eyes. She was hiding him as long as she could, but after 3 months, it just became too difficult. So trying to hide something like a baby can be a stressful way to live. You have to be careful about what you do, where you go, what you say. But the love of a mother that protects her children, it's a no-brainer. She did what she had to do. Traits of a great mother include protecting their children, but also placing their children in God's hands. Jochebed appeased Pharaoh's commands. After 3 months, it just wasn't possible to safely hide the little guy. He was going to be discovered, and if found out by the wrong guy in the wrong place, could probably mean execution for the parents as well. So Jochebed was going to follow the law, but with a twist. Perhaps maybe she saw some other mothers even attempt this, to put them in a basket and then place them in the Nile. Maybe other mothers thought of this, you know, like, well, we can follow the law, but maybe we'll get away with something. Either way, whether this is her creative solution or a common practice to give the child a chance, she builds a little boat for him to float in. He'll be in the river, so her legal obligation is complete. But Moses at least has a chance. Before I go any further, let's talk about the Nile River for a moment. It is full of danger. We're not even talking about a river like Juniata. I mean, even we wouldn't want to take a baby and put him in a basket and float him out to Juniata, right? Because there's just danger there. But we're not even talking about a river like the Juniata. The Nile still has deadly snakes, poisonous spiders, of course crocodiles, not to mention the diseases that are in the river. But then there's the animal that kills more people than lions in Africa every year. The hippopotamus. This is their hometown, man. They can be extremely territorial and vicious. They've even been known to flip modern-day boats. All right, so hippos can do a lot of damage, too. Not to mention tipping over a tiny boat during rapids. that can certainly tumble a little baby out into the water. There are so many dangers, yet Jochebed fearlessly placed her little baby boy in this makeshift vessel and had her daughter Miriam watch the baby in the Nile River. Honestly, even the Juniata River takes a life every couple of years, right? When I was in my early 20s, I was canoeing down Lewistown Narrows with a friend of mine, and we were doing some fishing, and we flipped the canoe. I don't know how to swim, but at that moment, there was this moment of panic that took over, and we freaked out for a little bit, and then I had to, like, capture my mind, but okay, settle down, calm down, don't panic, just float with the canoe, and we'll get to a safe spot, then we'll turn it over, and we'll get up, and we'll fix everything. Didn't help all the good lures I lost that day, but at least I came back with my life, so that's a good thing. As I look back on that moment later, I realized that things could have gone a lot worse that day. You know, there was just one of those moments. Had I not regained my mind, like I could, something bad could have happened. And the Juniata is a pretty boring river. The Nile is known for being treacherous. I looked up, did a little Google search just to see, and it says people still 5,000 deaths annually from the Nile River. Mostly one of three things: accidental drowning, wildlife attacks, and waterborne illnesses. Waterborne illnesses being one of the big ones there. Knowing that, how many of you would want to place your baby into a Nile River there even today? It's a death trap, especially for a helpless three-month-old baby. Crocs and hippos don't care how cute a baby is. But they're keeping an eye on Moses. Jochebed fulfilled the requirement. It appears that she strategically placed him. She didn't just chuck him into the water. It says she laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. Right? So again, she wasn't fool. She did strategically, fulfilling the requirements of law, yet giving Moses the best chance of survival. So it seemed like her actions were a little calculated. And that's when Big Sister, in typical Big Sister fashion, watches over her baby brother. And some of you know all too well about the the protective older sister that watches out for you. That's what I meant. Older, loving, older sister. That's what I meant. Miriam stood back at a distance, and she could see what was going on, but yet it seemed like she probably wasn't noticed. Then she could return and tell her mother at least what happens to the boy. And as she watched, she witnessed what we attribute to being another miraculous moment. Pharaoh's daughter, a princess of Egypt, came down to the river, saw the bundle, and had her maid fetch the basket. And she opened the basket. This beautiful baby started to cry. Seeing the handsome little fellow crying brought about compassion on the child. She knew what her father's edict was. She knew what Pharaoh had said had to happen to all these babies. So she knew this is probably one of the Hebrew's children. They did what they were required to do. She wasn't stupid. But she had more of a heart than her father did, fortunately. She had compassion. So just sit back for a moment and consider the details of what has happened up to this point. If there's any chance that this was just luck, no, not at all. There is a combination of faith, wisdom, patience, and strategy. Yet somehow through it all, Jochebed said, did this without fear. She had about a million reasons to be fearful. Yet she had the faith, the trust in the Lord through it all. How do you think you'd do in a test of faith like that? I honestly don't know if I would fare quite as well as Jochebed did. She was a champ on this one. This week, Lucas had a serious medical situation. We sit back and we pray for Matt and Chelsea and Lucas as they navigate the difficulties of Lucas' challenge and watch their faith continue to shine as a testimony to all of us. There's so many things out of their control. It's tough as a parent when all you can do is sit and wait. Yet that's sometimes what great mothers have to do. Sometimes that's all they do, is just sit and wait. Jochebed isn't even on scene. She's relying on her daughter to take care of her son. Those of you that have had children in the hospital, you probably know this feeling, right? All you can do is sit and wait. You pray and you wait. The way the text reads, this doesn't seem to last a long time, but Jochebed time, I imagine it probably felt like an eternity. There was no text updates. There was no game cam like pointed at the basket to make sure that it was safe. You know, she just had to let her son in a deadly river and trusted it to be found by the very nation that ordered Moses' death. When we say it like it is, man, that had to take a lot of faith. Sometimes God keeps us from harm. Sometimes God allows harm to get us. We read about the miraculous stories like Daniel in the lion's den. We read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how they lived through a fiery furnace. We read the stories and the legend of David facing a giant. And amazing as all their miracles were, they all eventually died. Anytime God extends our days, any day we have, any day we're given is a gift. We aren't given life because we deserve it, because we're so amazing. We're permitted to live because of God's grace. And if we were punished as we deserved, the moment we deserved it, we'd all be judged and dead by now. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." When we sin, we fall short. What we deserve for sinning against a righteous God is death. But in His grace, He gives us time. He gives us opportunity to repent, to call on His name, and come back into relationship with Him. And that's our hope of salvation. But the hardest days in that process are man, it's when we just have to sit and wait. Those are tough days. But that's what great mothers do. They sit by your side. They take care of what they need to do, but they wait for you. Sometimes even when there's nothing else they can do, they'll be there waiting. All you can do is wait and pray. And just keep waiting and praying. Focus on praying, but wait and pray. Whether it's medical, whether it's financial for your kids, whether it's emotional, maybe it's relational, maybe it's spiritual. Know that just waiting and being there for your kids, that's a rock star mom move right there. But don't just wait. Wait in faith and be prayerful in the time. The traits of a great mother include protecting your children, placing them in God's hands, and positioning your children for success. Success is defined by Scripture, not as the world defines it. But Jochebed continued loving Moses. Now the story just gets crazy amazing. Miriam walks up to the princess and offers to find the princess a nursing maid for the boy. Such a sweet offer from this little slave girl, right? You know, you may want someone that can help nurse the child, you know, since it's not your baby. How thoughtful. What this sweet little girl came up and offered. The princess accepts the offer, and Moses' older sister goes and gets her own mother, Moses' mother, and she agrees to do the nursing. And I sometimes wonder if the princess ever learned that Jochebed was actually Moses' mother. It's something that, in her, maybe they didn't tell her. It might have been something they just said, "Miriam, we're just going to keep this between us, okay? Be our little secret." As part of the royal family, no one would dare harm Moses now. He was kind of adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. And as a royal heir, Moses was now in a very good spot. Yet still living with his own family, and his mother was going to get paid to nurse her own baby. What an incredible turn of events. The very baby that was causing Jochebed to risk her life is now getting paid to take care of him. Talk about miraculous. Talk about a work of God in the process. Not that she was worried about the money. I guarantee Jochebed would have done this for free, right? Every mom out here can agree, no, I'd have done that part for free. If it meant more time with my child, I'd have done that for free in a heartbeat. So it wasn't about the money, but if the royal family offers to pay a slave, you don't turn it down either. So Jochebed continued to spend time cuddling with her son, feeding him, loving him up close. And this is a result of not living in fear. It seems counterintuitive to put your baby in a deadly river, but God has a way of blessing our acts when they're done in true faith. Not always in the way we want. Anyone that is a mom knows that some days turn out bad. There's hardship and sad endings. But overall, God uses those too. Several years back, I spoke at a life celebration service for a baby girl that passed away from Krabbe disease. And her message was shared five far and wide through live stream and a book that her mom wrote and used several quotes from a message. And the legacy of baby girl that literally never spoke a word caused the gospel to be shared around the world. Ben Chappell's funeral service has been viewed over 16,000 times, literally around the world. His mom, Deb, has kept a journal of all the different countries where people have watched this. And it's kind of cool to see that continue to grow. Who knows where that message has gone and leaked into and maybe even areas that the gospel can't legally be shared. In this world, we don't always get the happy ending. But that doesn't mean that God isn't working. It just means we need to keep our faith and keep loving while we wait. Even if your relationship falters, your children will remember when you keep loving them right where they're at. Jochebed had to let go. Tough lesson for moms. Is there anything harder than letting your children go? Whether it's the bus ride, the kindergarten, or the very first day of school. If you go to their first drive without you, or you hand them the keys, and you're not going to be there to tell my wife, watch out for that guy. Going to a different state for college, or moving in with a new spouse, or eventually graduating to eternity themselves. It's tough letting your children go no matter the level. I still remember like yesterday when Wendy's little boy Adley, who man, his biggest dream was he got to ride the bus when he went to kindergarten. He was so excited. He got to ride the big yellow bus. Mama wasn't handling it quite so well. Me being the good husband that I am, knowing how to read my wife, and he got on the bus and she was all tensed up. Hugs are always the right answer, right? So I put out my arm and put it around her and said, "Don't touch me." Okay. Hugs aren't always the answer. Now, we know that Adley was going to get off the bus at the end of that day. I mean, we knew his bus driver because his bus driver was my bus driver when I was in
school. Oh, my gosh.
We knew his teacher because we vacationed with her family. And I grew up going to church together. She was a little younger than me, but we knew her. The guy I mentioned in last week's sermon, if you're here, that took me to my first Penn State football game, that was her dad. So, like, we knew the family. The kindergarten teacher is good. The bus driver is good. We're good. But no hugs. Jochebed watched the bus pull away to take Moses to the palace, fully knowing he wasn't coming home at the end of that day. Moses was getting adopted by the Egyptian princess. What about the Hebrew traditions? Like this is what I'm picturing she's struggling with. He's not going to know about our Hebrew traditions. He's not going to know our Hebrew songs, other than the ones that maybe sunk in a little bit while I'm singing to him while I'm nursing him now. He's not going to know about the stories of creation and what we believe, how we all came to be. Will he be special to his new mom, or is she just going to tire of him after a few months? Will he even fit in among the Egyptian children growing up in the palace? Surely he's going to be an outsider. Will he know that Jochebed did this because she loved him rather than, I'm just dumping him off? What will the Egyptians teach him about the Hebrew people? What are they going to tell her about her? I can only imagine the questions this poor mother had, but Moses was alive, and that's what mattered most at this point. She found a way to save her son from certain death. Moms will always be moms, but Jochebed had to learn to let go in this situation. Surely great and godly moms can learn to let go and give their children room to grow as well. And Jochebed had fallen into fear at this point. Could have been a pretty dangerous situation. She didn't get prideful. She didn't hold on too tight. She let go for the sake of her son. See, people compliment Wendy and I for how we raise our children. And I appreciate the sentiment, but I often gently let them know we're not raising children. We're out to raise adults, because when we're done, we don't want them still acting like children. I want you to raise adults in proper time, proper decisions at right times, but that means we have to let go. If we're going to trust God with our children, we have to let them go into God's hands. And I can tell you that it's better to open your hand and let them go than it is for God to force you to open your hand to let them go. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine just this morning, and he was telling me how when he grew up on the family farm, his dad wanted each of the kids to build a house on the farm and never move away. Mm-hmm. He's like, I couldn't do that with my kids. He didn't do that, but he didn't do that with his kids either. So I encouraged them, go. And he's telling me, man, his kids, four of them, they're all over the world right now. One of them's in London right now. One's in Arizona. One's in Pennsylvania. He's like, let God have your children. Trust Him. Next phase of life that you find yourself challenging to let go, think about the faith of Jochebed. She let him let her son go into the home of her oppressors, and yet she let him go. That's a mother of faith right there. Jochebed trusted God. The only way you can open your hands to let God have what he wants with what you have is you got to trust him. Nothing tests our trust like our children, though, am I right? We naturally want to protect our children. We naturally hold on to our kids tight. We fight off any danger. But if we always do that, we'll never let them learn to rely on the Lord for themselves. Obviously, this takes discernment with them. Let your children fail wisely. Do it well. Let your children learn consequences for their mistakes. I always appreciate the wisdom John and Tammy Fry gave me one day. They said if their kids listened to their advice and it was a mistake, they'd cover the cost of fixing it. If their kids didn't heed their advice, then they paid for their own mistakes. That's good wisdom. Part of parenting is teaching consequences. As much as it can hurt sometimes, the teaching of consequences for decisions is worth more than a few bucks it may cost you to fix something for them. It's worth the investment. Let them learn to pick themselves back up. You may need to sit down and have a real heart-to-heart with God on whether or not you trust him. You may have to take a few baby steps in trusting God. But it's much wiser to open your hands and say, God, if you want to take my children somewhere else or do something with them that's not my plan, they're yours. They're his servants, not yours. As we read through the Bible, there are so many examples of people not trusting God. There's a lot of examples of people that did trust God too. Generally speaking, our children are treasured, and God is always glorified when we give God what matters most to us. So if you look at your kids and you're like, man, they're my most treasured thing in this whole world. And that's the thing that you better say, God, they're yours. I want you to do something great with them. We had a job dedication this morning because parents want you to dedicate their blessing back to the Lord. But it's a commitment. When God calls you to release anything, we have to keep in mind that he's the one who gave it to you in the first place. We're only ever stewards of what he entrusts to us. In a sense, they are our children, but even more so, they're his. He created them. He created them in his image. We have to have sound understanding of our theology of mankind. We need to understand how God relates to mankind, and that's when we know that we can truly trust God. When we take our children, we're like, Lord, do what you need to with this child. We can trust him more than we can trust ourselves, actually. And that's the struggle we have in anything. We want to trust ourselves. We want to trust our power as opposed to God's power. Truth is that God is just more trustworthy than we will ever be. Great moms have to trust God. There's no better way to position your children for success than trusting them into God's hands. And that means God is prioritized over sports and recitals and work and grades. Model how to seek the Lord with your whole heart. Show them what it looks like to trust God in your actions. In the hard times, they may not get it right away, but they'll remember seeing it, even if they don't fully understand it right away. Be wise. I'm not talking about a foolish faith here. I'm talking about seeking God's will, listening to him, and then putting matters to practice. I'm grateful that we have so many great and godly mothers here at Central. And even the best moms, we know the best moms aren't perfect, but the great ones keep abiding in the vine along the way. God always knew every mistake you were going to make, and you know what? He loves you anyway. Just like you love your kids anyway. You just had the power to know what it was before you even did it. Moms, don't be great like Jochebed. Have faith. Continue to pray. Continue to release your children to where God leads them. If you would, bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you so much for your love. Father, we come to this Mother's Day, and Lord, it's a holiday we celebrate in this world, but Lord, your love is so impressive. It's what we model our love after. As a matter of fact, your word says that we only know love because you modeled it for us first. And we thank you for that. We thank you for all the moms that took that model to heart and loved their kids each and every day so faithfully. Lord, I ask that you give us the strength and the wisdom to put them in your hands. trustworthy as you want to do with them. Lord, I ask that you help us to make that successful in your eyes. In your precious name we pray. Amen.